This is Dana Monsees, the nutritionist and Whole30 certified coach behind Real Food with Dana, and you're listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. All right, guys, welcome back. Today's episode is all about stress, self-care, and taking a good hard look at your lifestyle as a whole and being totally honest with yourself about what isn't serving you or your health right now. So today we're going to talk about stress and the self-care epidemic. Because here's the thing. So as women in the past few generations, we've grown up with the thought and the belief that you can have it all. Ever since women got the right to vote and there's been the civil rights movement and more in the feminist movement and more about women's rights, we kind of have the belief that you can be Wonder Woman, you can be the CEO at work, you can have an awesome family and be an awesome mom, you can eat clean all the time, do kick-ass workouts, have a great body or whatever that means, have tons of energy all the time and be totally present when you're doing it all. And if you can't hear the sarcasm in my voice, it's kind of ridiculous to expect all of that, but that's what we all think. And we also think that, or maybe we've been told that a good person would be able to do it all because you can do it all. So we come from a generation of people who walk around feeling bad all the time because they haven't reached this level of perfection. Newsflash, guys, like you can't do it all. Or if you do it all, you're half-assing everything. So I guess I should say you can't do it all with 100% all of the time. So you guys have probably heard my story and my relationship with stress and being a type A super competitive perfectionist that led to adrenal fatigue and all these hormonal issues and an eating disorder and all of this stuff. And I've talked about that in previous podcasts and previous posts, and I will leave that in the show notes. But even in the last few years, when I've gotten past all of that and learned to manage my stress better, that doesn't mean that my stress is gone. So like in the last couple of years, just for example, I started my own business. I did two different nutrition programs. I had a part-time job. I've moved multiple times. Just like life stress. I'm constantly busy all of the time. I'm one of those people that totally overcommits myself to everything. I have a hard time saying no to things because my gut instinct is always to say yes. So I'm constantly overcommitted. And even just recently, so in the past 2 months, between trying to find a new place to move, being in a really stressful situation in my old apartment, moving twice, having to move back in with my parents for 2 weeks because my new apartment wasn't ready, which by the way, moving twice sucks, do not ever recommend it. Going to multiple conferences, traveling a lot, running a couple different nutrition groups, and having my own business on top of everything has been really, really stressful. And this podcast is actually very timely because right now, sitting here recording this podcast, I am the prime example of what can happen to you if you don't take care of yourself enough. And I want to say that I've been trying to be very proactive in all of the steps that I'm going to be talking about later in the podcast about trying to take care of myself because I know I'm in these stressful situations and I can't remove myself from them, of trying to take care of myself more. But sometimes, even then, with all of the stress and all of the things you have going on and you try and do all the right things, you still get sick. So yesterday, after what has been basically 2 months of craziness, I finally came down with like, not the flu, but a really horrible scratchy throat and sinus stuff. And it's just been wonderful the past 2 days. But this just goes to show that even if you do all of the right things, sometimes you're still going to get sick and you shouldn't feel bad about that. But basically, what I want to talk about today is you can't pour from an empty cup. And you have to take care of yourself first, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you have a part-time job, whether you're a coach, a teacher, a family, you have to take care of other people in whatever way. You can't take care of other people adequately or 100% or put all of your effort and energy into taking care of others if you don't take care of yourself first. It's kind of like the analogy of when you're on a plane. If the plane doesn't have oxygen anymore and the oxygen masks drop, the parents are supposed to put their oxygen mask on before they put it on their kids. And it's the same reason here. If you don't have any more oxygen going to your brain and you can't breathe, you can't take care of little kids that are next to you. So you have to take care of yourself first. But on the other side of things, self-care has gotten totally out of control. I mean, the good thing is people have all realized the need for self-care, but it's made so much worse with social media. Because as you guys have heard me say countless times, social media is just a highlight reel. But people forget that and they're subconsciously evaluating themselves, or maybe consciously, but mostly subconsciously, based on what they see on social media. So on the one hand, you have people who are like, oh my God, you should hustle all the time, and that's the only way to achieve your goals. And on the other hand, we have a self-care epidemic, which is getting out of hand and really ridiculous. So sure, people are realizing now that you can't do it all 100% of the time, and you can't do 100% 100% of the time. And people are realizing that they should be doing less things that stress them out and more things to prioritize self-care. But here's the problem. We have people left and right who are like, oh, my version of self-care is going to a hot yoga class and my little sports bra and booty shorts with my perfect body and getting a perfect organic chemical-free manicure at an organic spa followed by a $15 green juice. And later, I'm going to take an Epsom salt bath with 20 candles around me and plants and classical music, and it'll be wonderful and I'll feel so good. Okay, bullshit. And then people are driven by the comparison trap on social media when they see that kind of thing, and they start to feel that their version of self-care isn't good enough. And then they start to stress about that. How perverted is this, you guys? It's just getting ridiculous. So, newsflash, the term self-care has been obnoxiously overused, and as one of my readers said, it just makes everyone sound like a bunch of self-absorbed turds, which is like better than I ever could have put it. It's like, of course you need to take care of yourself and recharge. But you can do great self-care without getting a blowout and doing an advanced yoga pose and putting it on Instagram. So what I want you guys to do is just stop and think for yourself. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. I want you to figure out what works well for you and what's right for you, what makes you feel better, and be okay with it. Figure out what you want to do and don't feel bad about it because it doesn't adhere to these standards or these glamorous things that you're seeing on Instagram, because F that, who cares what other people are doing? I want you to break the cycle of the stupid comparison trap on social media, because you have no idea what is going on behind the scenes of those perfectly coiffed yoga poses. Remember, social media is a highlight reel, and this is something that everyone struggles with, all this stress, despite what is on their Instagram feed. So now that my first rant is over, we're going to talk about more stress. So the number one thing that I've learned through all of this stuff is that you can't go 100% in every aspect of your life all the time, because after a while, your body is going to start screaming at you in the form of exhaustion, of major stress, adrenal or thyroid issues, food intolerances, inflammation, and even being a flare for autoimmune disease. And the other thing to remember here is stress gets a super bad rap in our world today, but stress isn't inherently bad. It's actually the reason that humans still exist. And you guys have heard me say this before. If we didn't have a fight or flight response, we'd all be unable to run away from danger or swerve away from a car that's coming towards us, or you get the point. Stress only becomes bad when it's chronic and you can't recover from it. Which one interesting thing here is that each person's threshold for stress varies, meaning something small that legitimately stresses you out, like getting stuck in traffic on the way to work when you have a big presentation, could just be as taxing on your body's overall stress threshold as someone else's 60-hour work week fueled by red-eye drinks at Starbucks or your coffee shop and Red Bulls and even more coffee, which used to be me when I was working in politics, and vice versa. And we also know that it's basically impossible to live a stress-free lifestyle unless you're like a monk living in the mountains of some deserted area of the world. So while most of us can't eliminate our stressors, the best thing that we can do here is to learn the different places where that stress is coming from, eliminate the stress that we can, and then figure out how to manage the stress that we can't eliminate. So everyone has a different threshold for stress. And I want you to think about, for an analogy, like a bucket. So you have a stress bucket. It gets filled up with all of the things that are stressful on the body or your mind or your emotions or whatever it is. So this includes both what we would think of as good stressors, like exercise, and bad stressors, like getting stuck in traffic or the stress of being in a bad relationship or something like that. Even some of the things that we do to help manage stress or take the edge off, like coffee or alcohol or watching mindless TV, can actually add to our stress bucket. And this all has an impact on the body. It all piles up on top of each other in your stress bucket until it finally bubbles over and you just can't deal anymore. Exercise is still a physical stressor on the body. So, for example, when your bucket is already full from all of this relationship stress or job stress or family stress or travel stress or whatever it is, doing an intense workout can actually make you feel worse and make your stress levels even higher. So, action step for you guys here today is I want you to make your stress list of all of the stressors in your life, both good quote unquote stressors like exercise that you actually enjoy and bad stressors like the craziness at work or being sick or travel or whatever it is. And then I want you to divide those stressors into stress that you can actually eliminate and then stress that you can't eliminate. And then we're going to talk about ways that you can manage the stress so that you don't internalize it as much and it doesn't have as large of an impact on your health. So the things that you can manage is, the first one is the way that you react to or internalize this stress. How do you let stresses, when they come your way, affect you? Do they roll right off your shoulders, or do you let them get all bundled up inside and then eventually release like an angry monster? So for example, traffic. We've all been there where you're so stressed out and you're on your way to work and you have a big presentation and you have so many other things going on where when you finally get stuck in traffic, you are yelling at your steering wheel versus, now that I'm stuck in traffic, I get 20 more minutes to listen to a podcast or an audiobook or your jam to your new favorite song. Now, another thing we're going to talk about is how you manage your stress. So in order to help manage your stress, there are a couple of things that you need to cut down on in your life or potentially cut out of your life. And some of these are going to be a little bit scary for you guys. So I've done a couple of podcasts on coffee and my story with coffee and how it can impact your stress levels. So a couple of years ago, when I talked about before, I was working on these political campaigns in the field and was drinking a red eye from Starbucks in the morning and a Red Bull with lunch and coffee with dinner. I was totally addicted to caffeine. I could not function without it. And that's basically just what I was doing to get me through 12 to 16 hour days working in the field in politics. And I think we can all agree that that's a little too overstimulating for the body, right? But from a physiological perspective, every time you drink coffee, you're stimulating your adrenal glands, aka activating your fight or flight response, which is exactly what any of these stressors do and adding to your stress bucket and producing cortisol. And we've all experienced the feeling of having a little too much caffeine where your heart starts to race, you feel jittery, and you just feel like you need to go run somewhere to burn some energy off. If you have hormonal imbalances, which you might if you've been dealing with chronic stress for a long time and your natural cortisol rhythm is thrown off, normally, cortisol is high in the morning to wake you up, highest at noon, and then gradually lowers throughout the day to allow you to naturally fall asleep at night. If you have hormonal imbalances or this constant influx of cortisol and all these different stressors, many people eventually start to have really low cortisol in the morning and then get tired and wired and have a cortisol spike at night. So of course, we reach for caffeine in the morning because we literally can't function without it. And you're right about that. But using coffee to wake up when you have adrenal issues or a cortisol imbalance or hormonal issues is basically like putting a Band-Aid on the problem. You're not actually fixing anything and you're only messing up your cortisol rhythms even more. And like I talked about in the stress and anxiety podcast with coffee, drinking coffee, if you have anxiety or if you already have stress levels that are high, are actually going to make the stress worse. So you might want to think about cutting down on your coffee consumption if you're in a really acute period of stress. Now, alcohol, is a common wind down habit, but it's not actually solving any of the stress that you have going on in your life, even though people mostly use alcohol as a form to de-stress or to deal with stress. But what alcohol actually does is it's going to disrupt your sleep, create more cravings for junk food and processed food, which we're going to talk about later, and how those can create more inflammation and more stress in the body. And the hangover or brain fog that you have the next day can actually cause you to be less productive and then even more stressed out about all of the things that you have to do. All right, here comes a big knowledge bomb here, something that is going to be a little bit scary for, I know, a lot of you guys. It was scary for me when I first heard about it, but intense exercise as a negative physical stressor on the body. So if the thought of taking a rest day or a couple of rest days in a row from the gym, from CrossFit, from core power yoga, or intense exercise or HIIT training for your half marathon or whatever else gives you a mild panic attack, then you need to hear this. You probably know that I'm an avid CrossFitter or lifter, and I have been for almost 7 years now, but you also know that I've had a serious bout of chronic stress and corresponding adrenal or hormonal imbalances in the middle part of that, and even recently. And intense exercise can actually be the thing that tips the balance on your stress bucket and makes your stress even worse. But here's the thing. We all know that sweaty, intense workouts feel really freaking good. I mean, hello, post-workout endorphin high, and they definitely have their place in your life. But if you're dealing with a ton of stress in your life from family stuff, deadlines at work, lots of travel, being sick, on top of just a stressful life in general, you need to allow your body more than just the nutrients to repair itself. You need rest, and this might mean taking a break from your favorite exercise routine, especially if it's intense, for a little bit, and favoring more restorative forms of movement until the high stress levels are over. Once they go back down, then you can add back in the intense exercise. But if your stress bucket is already full, it's not going to do you any favors to increase your physical stress on the body even more by doing an intense workout. And even now, well away from my days of all of this chronic stress that I had going on for years, I'm in more of an acute stressful period. I take so many more rest days than I used to, and I'm so much stronger than I was before. Whereas before, I would actually freak the F out if I even missed one workout. So today, if this is you, take a chill pill, take a nap. Do some yoga, some like restorative yoga. Don't go to a Bikram yoga class and sweat your butt off for 2 hours, because that is also an intense form of exercise. Maybe do some meditation. And know that all of this will pass, but only if you give yourself the rest that you really need. Now, two that I've been thinking about more lately, because these were totally ways that I would use to manage my stress. These aren't a physical stress on the body, but watching reality TV can actually be really stressful, because most reality TV shows are designed to hook you in because the people on those shows are stressed out. Sometimes your stress levels are so high that watching reality TV can actually internally make you more stressed out. And then another thing that I've been avoiding lately, which is kind of funny because I have a nutrition podcast, is only listening to what I call fun podcasts and not like heavy material on the nutrition or body image stuff or any of this. Because for me right now, that was just information overload, and I didn't need any more things floating around in my brain to think about because I already had so much in there and I was already so stressed out. So I've just been listening to like NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and mostly Harry Potter podcasts, if we're being honest, and it's created a much better headspace for me. Speaking of headspace, in terms of physical manifestations in your environment of stress, living in a cluttered space can basically increase your mental clutter and your stress. So what you need to do here is decrease the amount of life clutter that you have, which will then lead you to be less stressed. And this includes material things. So for example, if you're sitting in your home office or wherever you are and there are piles of paper everywhere, that's going to translate to more mental stress. And then another thing that you can do is remove yourself from stressful situations wherever you can. For example, turn off the news. there has been nothing good on the news as of late, and I think you guys know what I'm talking about. It's just been like a very stressful time in our country, and one way that you can, at least on a minute-to-minute, day-to-day basis, escape from all of that is just not have the news on constantly, because it's not going to do anything favorable for your stress levels. Two more things here. So environmental toxins, you need to avoid these the best you can, especially in particularly stressful periods in your life. So these include toxic makeup or toxic cleaning products. And these are basically conventional makeup and conventional cleaning products, which all have well-known endocrine or hormone disruptors and chemicals and stuff that can cause inflammation and additional hormonal imbalances in the body. So stay away from those. I have a whole podcast on that I'll link in the show notes and a bunch of links that I'll put in there for you guys. Then the last thing here is chronic stress can actually cause you to keep on weight. And conversely, weight, body image, and food can be something that you are stressing about all the time, meaning that the stress you're creating by worrying about these things all the time can actually cause you to keep on weight. So we're going to dive a little more into this. Constantly thinking about how much you hate your body or how much you want to change it or how you're trying to lose weight, being obsessed with the extra little bit of love that I like to call that you have on your body, or counting calories or macros or beating yourself up for eating something that you quote unquote shouldn't have, not going to the gym or whatever it is, all of this is a source of stress. And when we are hyper-focused on the way that our bodies look, we inevitably become obsessed with our food choices and our workouts. Not to mention, the mere act of thinking negative body image thoughts is enough to disrupt and further stress your hormonal function, making it nearly impossible for you to fully heal or lose weight. So get that negative shit out of your life, however it's coming in, from whether it's negative self-talk or from friends who talk shit about their own bodies to people on social media who make you feel like crap about yourself because you don't have a 12-pack like they do. Just leave it. Bye. Get out. And as you guys know, this is by no means a weight loss podcast, but I just wanted you to know that having all of this stress can actually cause you to keep on stubborn body fat around the middle, caused by a consistent cortisol response in response to chronic stress. Okay, now we're going to talk about all of the things that you can include to help decrease your stress load or manage the stress. So when you know that you're going through a particularly stressful time, whether it be planned or unplanned, you need to be proactive at establishing routines or practices that will help you to disrupt or mediate the stress so that you can continue to function normally. For example, people say that exercise makes them feel better, and in some situations, exercise is the only thing that can help you function normally with a clear head. Instead of waking up every morning being stressed out already about the day, you start with a yoga flow or a short workout. Nothing crazy intense, but just something to clear your head. So here are a couple of the things that we want to do more. These are the stress management tools, the self-care practices that do not have to involve getting a blowout or an organic manicure, going to a fancy yoga class, though you can totally do those things if you want to. Just don't think that if you're not doing those, that your self-care practice isn't good enough. The number one thing I want you guys to do is to prioritize yourself and know that self-care is not selfish. It's like the oxygen mask analogy. You need to take care of yourself so that you can truly take care of others. I want you to say no to more things, because overcommitting yourself is a definite form of stress and can add more to your stress bucket. Sometimes this means saying no to even fun things like Sunday brunch plans just so you can sleep in and chill on the couch to truly recover from the week. Or, for example, if you have to bring something to your kid's class for their birthday, instead of making homemade cupcakes and stressing out about all of the allergen-friendly ingredients that you now have to include and not using peanut butter and eggs and all these things, buy something good quality at the store. That is fine. It's not a cop-out or an opt-out or whatever you want to call it. And it's not that you're not good enough. It's just you're prioritizing other things over spending 4 hours on making cupcakes. So Stop saying yes to extra commitments or commitments that stress you out. No, you don't have to go to that person's party if you're totally exhausted. You don't have to offer to drive carpool every day. You need to recover so you can be there truly for everyone else in your life. This also means saying no to toxic friendships and relationships where are another form of stress and negativity that you could probably do away with anyways. So avoid negative people and negative self-talk and people who practice negative self-talk about themselves. Don't even try and tell me that when your friend says she feels so fat in these pants today that you don't immediately start doubting what you feel like in your own skin. So the big principles here for self-care are sun, water, walk, sleep, and breathe. So these are the simple things that you can take care of when you're super stressed out. If you take care of these five things and a couple of the other things that we're going to talk about, you're immediately going to be feeling so much better. And these don't have to be glamorous. Okay, the first one, sun, get out in the sun. Go outside around noon, get some extra vitamin D. You're going to feel so much better. Make sure you're drinking high quality water, staying hydrated. Dehydration is a form of stress and inflammation on the body too. Go for a walk. Bonus, go for a walk in the sun if you can, which will make you feel so much better. Make sure you're getting quality sleep. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in detail later, but make sure you're doing some good breathing. Get out of toxic air. Get out of a lot of different scents that you have going around. Here's a good way to do this. Go outside in the sun for a walk and take some deep breaths. You just nailed out three of those things. And then drink a lot of water when you get back. You knocked out four. Okay. I want you, for food, eat anti-inflammatory foods. Lots of green veggies, foods that make you good, feel good. Not foods that make you good. Foods that make you feel good from the inside out. Which, unfortunately, these are probably going to be the exact opposite of what you're craving when you're stressed out. But giving in to those late night pizza or treat cravings or whatever it is are actually going to make you feel worse due to the inflammatory effect they have on the body. All these processed foods create inflammation, which creates a spike in cortisol and then adds to your stress bucket. So we talked a little bit about breathing before, but when you're really stressed out, your breathing pattern actually changes. Your breathing becomes much more shallow. You don't take as deep of breaths. You don't get as much quality air. And most of your breathing is going to come from your upper chest area, which is called parasympathetic or shallow breathing. So if you don't do proactive work to fix this, this is going to become your new default, this shallow breathing thing. So try and take a couple of deep breaths from the space below your belly button. This is going to help you switch into a parasympathetic state so that you can really relax. You also need to prioritize sleep, which, I mean, this is something that's so simple. I probably don't even need to tell you guys, but you need to be reminded of this every once in a while. Maybe shut off the TV so you can get an extra 30 minutes of sleep instead of binge watching Game of Thrones, because you still have a good 8 months to catch up before it starts anyways. You can always watch more TV tomorrow, but there's no such thing as, like, if you get 4 hours of sleep tonight and then you get 12 hours tomorrow, it's not going to balance out so that you have 8 hours of sleep both nights. Okay, now a couple of practical things that you can do, these are like little bonus tips that I like to use for myself and for my clients, in addition to like getting enough sleep, making sure you have quality air, getting enough water, eating quality foods, all that kind of stuff. One of the things I really like to do if I'm just super overwhelmed and so overwhelmed that I don't even know where to start is to do what I like to call a brain dumps. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to get a blank sheet of paper. I like to use lined paper. And you're just going to do stream of consciousness kind of to-do list kind of thing. So I want you to write down everything that's on your brain. The laundry, the errands you have to run, the projects you have to do. You have to walk the dog, take him to the vet, all these different. You have to buy stuff on Amazon, whatever it is. Everything from work to family to school to errands to to-do lists. Write it all down. And then you're going to cross out the erroneous things that you really don't have to do, or maybe you can delegate them to someone else. And then you can make a to-do list based on the actual most important things. This also helps if you do this before bed, or if you do stream of consciousness journaling before bed, it'll help you sleep better, because then you're not like grasping on to little things when you're trying to fall asleep and being like, oh my God, I need to do that tomorrow, or I need to do this next week, or why did I do that 4 weeks ago? Just write it all down, get it all out so it's not stuck in your head. One of the things, which I kind of mentioned this before, but I've been doing a lot lately, is instead of reading nonfiction books or listening to nonfiction podcasts, whether that's nutrition or history or news or whatever it is, I've been reading a lot more fiction and fantasy books, specifically Harry Potter, which you don't have to if you don't want to. But I find whenever I get really stressed out or I'm going through a difficult time, honestly, I just go right back to the Harry Potter series. And hey, Audible, if you're listening, I would love for you to sponsor me, but probably not anytime soon. But I mean, getting lost in a fantasy series or a book series or whatever it is a great way to de-stress, because when you get absorbed into it, you completely forget about everything else that's going on. Bonus points if you read this right before bed instead of watching TV, and then you can get more restful sleep because the blue light from the TV won't be disrupting your circadian rhythms. Couple of other things you can do here. I've been experimenting a lot since Expo with CBD oils as a way to calm down before I go to sleep and for anti-inflammatory properties. I'm thinking of getting a CBD expert on the podcast. So if you have questions about that, just hold them. I'll be able to talk about them soon. But adaptogens are another great thing that you can use in times of acute stress, like ashwagandha for prolonged stress or passion flower for acute stress, not to be used daily. But every once in a while, these are a really good thing. Or other things like chaga and reishi and cordyceps. And I have a whole post on using adaptogens for stress that I will link in the show notes. Epsom salt baths are great. Doing restorative yoga is amazing. Doing some meditation is great, although I'm definitely guilty of not doing meditation as much as I would like to. And then, of course, doing less intense exercise. And the thing to remember here, guys, is that the thing that's going to give you the most benefit is the weakest link in your chain. So, for example, if your food is like 90% great and your sleep is only 20% great, then getting your food dialed in more from 90 to 95% is going to be extremely hard and make much less of a difference than getting your sleep from 20% to 40%. The goal overall here is to go 100% sometimes and 0% other times, or 100% into your work and 100% into your recovery or your self-care to recharge for when you are on, instead of just half-assing everything all the time and never truly recovering or taking a break. Because in that latter situation, if you're 50% everywhere all the time, but never anywhere 100%, that's not the situation you want to be in. You don't want to be that person who feels like they're doing a shitty job at work and a shitty job at home because you can't be everywhere and do everything 100% of the time. I want you to be more present in every moment. Go all in with intention when you're on and take full breaks or spend time with your family or do things you enjoy when you're off, and don't be on your phone and thinking about all the things you need to do tomorrow when you're actually trying to take a break. So I hope this has been helpful for you guys. I can definitely talk more about stress and self-care and all this kind of stuff if you guys want me to. So send me a message and let me know what you think. Always, always grateful if you guys are able to give me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes so we can help other people find the podcast. And of course, I'll put all of this stuff in the show notes. So now go off and make your stress list. See what's on your stress bucket or what's in your stress bucket, how full it is, and maybe do some things for self-care. And I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.